Okay. First of all, everybody should be on the very first slide, which should say Distributor Update 2005.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is everybody on that page that
yep.
has,
yep.
has
yep.
their PowerPoint?
Yep.
You can go ahead and click on it and go to the next page, and then actually click again and go past that, past the big Oxford plugin logo. Now you should be on the screen that shows all the Sony Oxford plugins. Really, this is just a screen to show what we have available in terms of plugins now. We have 7 different products. I'm not going to go into each product individually. Actually, the only product I'm really going to mention is the limiter, which is our newest product. But just wanted to have this screen up so you can see what we have to offer in terms of Oxford plugins. And also, before I go any further, please feel free, if you have any questions or anything, just interrupt me. Just jump right in so we can get it taken care of, you know, while we're on the subject of whatever that product is. But to overview real quick, just to let you know, we have, of course, the EQ and the Dynamics, which were from the original Sony Oxford console. Then we also have in the middle there the Restoration Tools, which is a suite of 3 different products, Denoise, Declick, and Debuzz. And then we have the Reverb, we have the Transmod, and the Inflator. And then, of course, the Limiter is the newest out of all of these. And if you click and go to the next slide, I'll just try to point out some of the benefits of the Oxford Limiter and let you know, of course, that it's available as we speak. We actually did have a shortage of inventory for a little while there, but we have since received more inventory in. So we're fine in terms of inventory of the Limiter now. But as you can see down below, we do have 2 different products, one for TDM, which is a list price of $530, and the LE version, which is $350. Just to point out a couple of things that make the Oxford Limiter a little bit unique. Everybody, obviously, if you're in the audio industry, knows what a limiter is, and probably if you're in the video industry, you know what a limiter is. So I won't go into the aspects of what a limiter is, but we'll point out a couple of things that the Oxford Limiter does give you. And the majority of these are over on the output side. The input side is pretty much self-explanatory, input gain, attack, release, knee. Those are all pretty self-explanatory for a limiter, and they're pretty standard on any limiter. On the output side, here's what makes our limiter different from, let's say, a Waves product. And we'll mention a little bit more about that in a couple other slides. But if you look over on the right, there's a couple of faders there that you see. One of them is enhanced. And what the enhanced fader does is essentially add more harmonic content to the output. And basically what this is doing is giving it a more analog-sounding sound to it. So if you want to not only do some limiting, but actually add some harmonic content, give it kind of that tape saturation sound, that's what the enhanced is all about.
So this is sort of the reverse of an oral exciter?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Okay.
The output level is, you know, that's pretty standard. The thing that you may not know is there's something called a recon meter. That button there, actually, this is also very unique, and this is a nice little feature to have. You may or may not realize, but in the digital domain, when you go over 0, you start to get some pretty nasty things going on. So this recon meter is actually takes the metering actually to another level. And what it's doing is basically showing you what's called intersample metering, where it's not going to show up on a normal meter, but it will show you peaks that were showing up basically at a very high resolution. So what you're seeing there, if you look at the picture, it's, of course, static, but in the orange section, that's showing you all the errors that are occurring above what you would see on a normal meter. So this recon meter, actually, it's not for reconnaissance. It's actually reconstruction. It's showing you when the limiter is actually reconstructing the wave to keep everything below the 0 point. And the metering is letting you know that that's happening. Typically, it's only just going to flicker a little bit to let you know that there's something going on. But the reconstruction meter is actually a very unique and interesting part to this whole product. Now, above and beyond that, we've also got dithering built into this product. So if you've got a more than 16-bit signal that you want to, let's say you're working in 24-bit 48K or something, and this product has to go out. out to become a CD, of course, you've got to get that 24 bits down to 16 bits somehow. And, of course, truncation is the worst case. You would just lop off the extra 8 bits and throw them away. In this case, you apply what's called dither, and we have different types of dither. There's different standards of dithering, and then there's also a one that was designed specifically for this limiter. So it adds that in addition to the reconnaissance function. So, yeah, those are the kind of the unique functionalities of this limiter. Most standard limiters don't give you that type of functionality, especially the reconnaissance meter. That really gives you, if you're in a mastering environment especially, it really lets you see what's going on in terms of inside the signal. So if you can go ahead and click to the next slide. I'm not going to read the review, but these are basically, oh, actually, this is just a comment from one user, and there are actually more comments on the website. And one thing, another thing I wanted to make sure everybody understands is if you want very detailed information on the plugins, don't go to the Sony.com/professional website or the Sony.com/pro audio website. Go to the Sony plugins.com website. If it's plugin specific, then you should be working with that website because it's the most up-to-date information, and it gives you a lot more information than the Sony.com website. So if you go to Sonyplugins.com and you press on reviews, you'll get to see a whole list of reviews, not just for the limiter, but for the other products as well, the reverb, the restoration tools, everything. And these are actually comments that they either get directly from people or from magazines or whatever. They've got a lot of those listed there, so somebody really needs to get an idea of what this product's all about. It's a very good resource. The other thing is the Sonyplugins.com website. If you don't have the demo disc, which we'll talk about in a minute, that's where also you can download demos. So if the customer wants to try it out for 15 days, that's a good place to go. Okay, go ahead and click on the next slide. It should say marketing materials at the top. We do have a hard copy version of the Sony plugin. And you'll see the number there, the A-1131A. Those can be ordered from COMAC. If you're not familiar with COMAC, that's our literature ordering website. But I assume, and maybe, Tom, you can correct me if I'm wrong, literature comes through Starin, or did you guys go up?
Sherry Sullivan is our primary contact for reps literature, and she will get them anything they need.
Yeah, okay. So we'll make sure that she has the brochure. But also to point out, there is a link if you go to the Pro Audio website with this brochure in a PDF form. However, like I said, if you want detailed information, I do recommend you go to the SonyPlugins.com website. Okay, next slide. Just a real quick screenshot of the actual SonyPlugins.com website. We'll just kind of blow by that. If you click again, and there's a blow-up of the actual site. That's showing you the limiter, just an example of one of the product pages. And if you'll notice, it says Oxford Limiter, and it tells you what platforms are supported. And then over on the left, it'll give you an overview, product info, specification requirements. You can download the manual, you can user comments, reviews. So they actually did a really nice job with the SonyPlugins.com website and laying it out and giving you a lot of good information. Okay, go ahead and click again. And now you should be back to the screen that says Marketing Materials, and it says Oxford Plugin Demo Disc. This is just to remind you that we do have demo discs, and those can be ordered as literature, as I mentioned. But one thing to note, if somebody wants to try our plugins, they have to have an iLock. If you're not familiar with what iLock is, it's basically a USB dongle that you stick on the side of your computer, and for security reasons, it stores all your serial numbers and security information for plugins. And to date, no one has cracked any of the Sony Oxford plugins, so it's actually worked very well. So that's why we do require this, even for demos. So if they download a demo off the website or they get it from the CD, they are going to require an iLock. So usually when I hand out a CD to somebody, I usually ask them, do you have an iLock, or somebody you know have an iLock? So that will allow them to try out our product. And by the way, they're full working versions of the product. They just time out after 15 days. The only exception to that is the GML plugin for the EQ is not on the demo disc because that's a licensed product from George Massenburg Labs, so that's not on there. Okay, go ahead and click on the next slide. More marketing materials. If you've got dealers, that want to get pictures or ready-made banners for their website or ads or anything like that having to do with Sony plugins, they can go to an FTP site that has all this information that's free to download. Any information you could think of is on there, including already ready-made ads that we're using, around the world. If you need access to that, send me an email. I can send you the instructions for that. I didn't want to put it on the PowerPoint because it's pretty lengthy. But anyhow, you can shoot me an email, and at the end of the presentation here, I'll give you all my details in terms of phone numbers and email addresses and all that good stuff. Okay, click on the next one. General information. This is Oxford Plugins General Info at the top. The limiter will be coming out for PowerCore soon. Soon only, not yet. We're upgrading to, actually, PowerCore is actually upgrading their hardware to what's called Mark II hardware, which doubles the DSP. Now, one of the things with them going through and changing their hardware, we're going to quickly come to find out is, or customers are going to quickly come to find out, if they upgrade, let's say, their old hardware to the new Mark II hardware, their plugins will no longer work. Because in the PowerCore domain, the plugins are actually tied to the serial number of the hardware. So coming soon, we will be implementing iLock for the PowerCore as well. So these are all things that are in the works. And also something that's in the works is support for Pro Tools 7. Pro Tools 7 just came out a couple weeks ago, and the EQ is already completed for upgrade. And if you go to our SonyPlugins.com website, actually on the very front page, there's a big logo there that says Pro Tools 7 upgrade. And you click on that, it takes you to the website to upgrade your plugins. The EQ is completed, and the other ones they're working on right now. They actually had to take a lot of their engineering efforts and move that over to support this because basically it's required because Pro Tools 7 is now getting out to customers. The other thing to note is that this is a charged upgrade. It'll be about $18. It's actually on the website in pounds, but it's approximately $18 for an upgrade. And according to Nathan in Oxford, he said this is actually a very inexpensive upgrade if you compare it to other manufacturers like Waves or anybody else that's charging for these upgrades. Also, anybody who has NFRs, if they have a distributor pack NFR, which is all the plugins, they will be notified via email when all the upgrades are ready and they can basically do it at no charge. If they bought or they got individual NFRs, then they'll have to go in manually and upgrade them themselves, but it's still no charge for anybody that has an NFR, and they're able to manage that through the Sony Plugins website.
Art, are the NFRs on a cycle of a time frame where they'll all be up at the same time? I kind of remember we did that once.
Yeah, well, no, unfortunately they're not.
Okay.
The Sony Media is. Those discs actually time out all at the same time.
Okay.
The Oxford plugins, they're 1 year from when you basically activate them.
Okay.
So the Oxford plugins are activated directly from Oxford, and they're 365-day NFRs that will time out 1 year. So if you got one plugin in January and one in February and one in March, one in April, they're all going to time out a year from then, from January to March. So they have to do it three times.
Thank you.
So go ahead and click on the next slide. It says the big Oxford plugins logo. Does anybody have any questions about plugins? Questions, comments? If not, we'll move along.
Okay.
Was that a comment or was that just a grunt?
That was just a grunt.
Okay. Getting close to lunchtime, Jim? Okay, click again, and you should have a screen that says shotgun microphone. We're going to talk about two brand new shotgun mics, the ECM674 and the ECM678. Nice pictures there. By the way, the PowerPoint presentation that you do have, you've probably figured out, is a very large file. But if you want a quick way to either do a presentation, to go out to a dealer, or if you need like graphics, like pictures and stuff, you can lift all of these graphics. I don't think there's any security on the PowerPoint slide, you can actually cut and paste any of these graphics into whatever you need them for, whether it's an ad or you want to do a flyer or something like that. They're all pretty high-res images.
And Art, when I got back from AES, I put together Sony sales binders for everybody, And I included a CD-ROM that includes this PowerPoint. So if anybody's having trouble downloading it, you do have it on that CD-ROM I sent you.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, was that Carl's presentation?
Yes, it was.
Okay, well, yeah, this is a modified version of that.
But okay.
Yeah, it's essentially the same. I've, you know, pretty much just deleted a bunch of slides and then added a couple of comments, and that's about it.
Got it. Okay.
Okay, so if you go to the next slide, it should say ECM678 electric condenser mic, and it has a picture of a camera and a shotgun mic and everything. And we'll click through all the different features. If you click once, it should say ideal for ENG in production. Obviously, it is a shotgun mic, so we are promoting these as being products that will either go on a camera or on a boom pole or, you know, any type of production environment. But just to point out and to compare the 678 and the 674, the 678 is a better, if you were to compare the sound quality of them, the 678 is a much smoother sounding shotgun mic. Actually, it's very top of the line in terms of where it sits in the product line, not only ours, but also compared to the competition. You kind of have to hear the difference, but there is, we were lucky enough that AES to be able to sit there and compare the two, and you'll find that the 678, it works very well, especially on a camera, like if you're pointing it at a subject. I mean, we don't give out distance specs or anything for shotgun mics, but it actually works very well to pull in the signal, and it's tailored specifically for the vocal range. And I'll show you a frequency response chart here in just a minute. Of course, it's suitable for use with all pro camcorders. It doesn't have to be a Sony camcorder. It could be anyone's camcorder. In case you didn't realize, all of our shotgun mics actually come with a little rubber grommet that goes around the microphone, so it can adapt to various microphone holders, whether it's a Sony camcorder or a non-Sony camcorder. So that's basically the reason for that. The 678 only runs on phantom power, and this, of course, is to reduce the size and the weight, because primarily you're going to see these on cameras. And in most cases, even if it's on a pole or something, most of the time they have phantom power, but it's to reduce the weight and the size of it. So the 678 only runs on phantom power. It includes a little short XLR to XLR cable to put it on the camera as well. And here's if you go ahead and click to the next complete slide, it should say ECM678 electric condenser mic, which shows all the accessories. And if you click, you'll see the first bullet point is high sensitivity, low inherent noise. That was the other design criteria, was not only to tailor it for the vocal range to be able to pick up from a distance, but also to make it very sensitive and very low inherent noise. And if you know anything about mics, actually 16 dB SPL is pretty darn low, especially for a shotgun mic, to be that low of an inherent noise. Very wide frequency response, and I'll show you that chart in just a second. And the other thing to point out about that is it's a very smooth frequency response. One of the tough things to do with a shotgun mic is to try to reduce the amount of comb filtering, and I'll show you that. Go ahead and click. You should be past wide frequency response. Should be on the next bullet point. It says low-cut filter allows decreasing of wind noise. So if you're in an environment where it's very windy and you're getting a lot of rumble, the low-cut filter will allow you to basically roll off the low end. It's small. It's only 9.9 inches long, so that it works very well on a camera. Like I said, specifically, the whole idea was to keep the weight and the size down. And that's the reason it doesn't have the battery compartment. Click one more, and it says list price, $750. So it's not cheap, but once again, this is our top-of-the-line shotgun mic. Very sensitive, very low noise, very tailored for on-camera use. Okay, go ahead and click again. Well, now it says in stock. I did, when I was looking up and doing preparing for this, I did find out we do have these in stock, so we're ready to start shipping these.
Okay, good.
Okay, click on to the next slide, and you should see frequency response as well as polar pattern for the microphone. Really just for your information, but one thing to point out is you notice kind of outlined in green is the top frequency response, which is the on-axis. Or 0 degrees, you notice how smooth it is. For a shotgun mic, that's actually very good to be that flat and that smooth, even though it does have a peak at a, you know, right around 10K. It's very unusual for a shotgun mic to be that smooth because you're doing a lot of basically acoustical filtering, so to speak, through the ports on the side. So this is actually a very nice Okay, go ahead and click past that. Next one, we'll talk about the ECM674. Your screen should say shotgun microphones. Now, if you click, now it should say ECM674 electric condenser mic. Click again. It should say ideal for use with HDV and DV cam. So just to point out where this sits in the line, the ECM674 is really targeted for your more mid-level type production environment. So HDV, DV cam, and even some consumer applications. If somebody's using, you know, the consumer version of the HDV and they want to put a pretty good mic on there, they could still use it with that. Of course, they would have to adapt to the mini input, but it still could be used for that. So it's really designed specifically, though, for HDV and DV cam. Click on the next bullet point. That should say includes XLR to XLR cable. So the cable is included, a little short XLR cable, so you can plug it into the camcorder. Click again. It should say two-way powering. This basically means either runs off the phantom power. Boy, somebody's got an old rotary phone or something.
Digital recreation.
Yeah, that was just a sample. That's a sample, yeah.
So two-way powering. You've got phantom power as well as AA battery. Of course, that's going to add to the length and the weight. If you click, it should say phantom power. You click again, it should say battery power. And by battery power, we do mean AA battery, no strange batteries or anything like that. All right, click once again. It should go to the next slide and show a picture of all the accessories that are supplied. Once again, this is, it claims high sensitivity and low inherent noise, not quite as good as the 678. Or no, actually, it's about the same. Compare the two. But go to the next one. It's this wide frequency response. Now, that one doesn't quite go out as far in terms of frequency response. Click again. This also has a low-cut filter. We all know what that's for. Except this one has a list price of $395, so a little bit closer to half the cost of the 678. And just to point out with the accessories there while we're on this slide, you see the cable, the little rubber grommet, and also comes with like a little handle with a mic clip on it, and, of course, the windscreen. And click again, it says in stock now. So these are also now in stock. So if you're selling HDV and you're selling DV cam, the immediate response should be, if somebody's interested in an HDV, is do you want a mic to go with that? I mean, this is a given in terms of an accessory. A lot of people don't realize that the HDV camcorders do not come with a mic. I think that's also true for the DV cam, like the TD-170. I don't think it comes with a mic as well. So we should be selling these people a mic with every camcorder that goes out the door. Okay. Click one more time, and you should see the frequency response as well as the polar pattern. And as you can see here, not quite as good as the 678, but still pretty good, pretty flat all the way across up until you get around 5K, up in 10K, but you'll notice a little bit of the comb filtering. So, the reason in the price difference in the care that was taken on the 678 to make that as smooth as possible. Okay, click to the next one. Any questions on the shotgun mic before we move on?
So, Art, none of the HDVs and the PD-170, none of those come with microphones.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep. A lot of people don't realize that because I think even in the brochures and in pictures online, they always show it with a microphone. But that microphone doesn't come with it.
And all of those have XLR ins. None of them are looking for a mini plug.
That's correct. Good. Yep. Any of the Z1U or the A1U and any of the Pro models, they all have XLRs.
The HDV cameras do have microphones on them, but it's an ambient stereo mic.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yeah, built-in... Yeah, you can't take that off.
No, you can't take it off. You can disconnect it and not use it. But
right,
they do come with the stereo mic, which really isn't a bad mic, but it is not a shotgun. It's just
right.
An ambient sound mic.
Well, Rich, maybe you can answer this. When you plug into the XLR, a shotgun mic, does it disable the
no.
stereo mic?
No.
So it's supported.
There are menu items to select what you want to do.
Oh, okay.
You have to go into menus and make changes in order to take the XLR ins on the side.
Right.
Okay. Well, Rich, if there's an ambient stereo mic on there and I unplug it or deactivate it through the menu and I plug in a shotgun mic, is it just going in dual mono?
Is what?
Just going to one channel.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, I can get the, I guess the camera sitting right here, I can get it out and look, but it's, there are some complicated setups. I believe you can send, I think you can send an XLR to both channels, or you can use it as two independent channels. I know that you can set one up for mic level and the other one for line level if you need to. They're independently selectable. So there are some pretty complicated setups for what you can do with the microphones.
That's okay. On the Z1U.
That's on the Z1U. Yeah, I haven't seen the A1U yet.
Okay.
Yep. But I think it's similar.
Thanks.
Okay. Next slide, which should be under the heading interview mic. This is the F112 dynamic microphone. Brand new product. A high-quality dynamic mic. Everybody knows that. We'll click to the next one. This also has an optimized frequency response. By the way, it is an omnidirectional mic. I don't think it mentions that in one of the bullet points, but it is an omnidirectional interview-style microphone. Optimized frequency response from 60 to 17K. Click again, and higher sensitivity. Okay, we'll click again. Of course, that's compared to a competitive interview mic. I hope to have, at some point, put together a comparison chart with this and, of course, all the standard interview mics that are out there.
Is it worth mentioning which competitive mic you're comparing it to?
635A or RE50.
Got it.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll have a chart out soon that will, you know, show all the comparison with that.
The RE50 is just a shock suspended, a 635A. So, you know, you see the RE50 a lot used in this application, but it's because it's shock suspended and a little bit better isolated than the 635A.
Hey, Art, I had a dealer ask me if you could use it as a hammer, like the 635.
That's the old story about the Buchanan hammer.
You know? Yeah. I haven't tried that yet. I do have one here. Maybe I'll give it to one of my kids and let them try it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't cover that under warranty.
Right.
If you do it, video it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Of course, it's for production and news gathering. Click again. It says for wired and wireless application. That's referring to, as it's shown here in the picture, with the new UTX-P1 plug-on transmitter. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. And the really nice thing is it's got a good price. It's $180 list. I'm not sure, Jim, what your costs are going to be, but it's going to be a very cost-effective mic. For this market, so $180. Okay. How does that, by the way, Jim, how does that compare with the RE50 and the 635 price-wise?
I'd have to look.
Oh, you don't have to? Okay.
Well, it would only be relevant if the difference from cost to list were the same also. But,
yeah.
I'll get an answer for you before we sign off here.
Okay, that's fine. I can add that to my comparison chart. All right, click once again. This is available in December. And as far as I can tell, we're still on schedule with that. So it should be okay for December. Okay, click again.
Art, yeah, this is Tom. On microphones, I know from time to time we pull from some of your pool of sample or demo products. Do you have the shotguns or this F112 available? If we had somebody said, I'd sure like to see one, or is that in your sample pool or not?
Yeah.
Or do you usually go with them when they go?
No, we can send them out. And typically we can get pretty much any product on demo to some extent. So if I have enough notice, I can typically get it out and let somebody try something like that, especially a microphone. We don't have a problem with it because that's something usually somebody has to hear before they buy it. Yeah, we can do that. Just let me know. Yep. Okay, now we're on the
slide. Hey, Art.
Yeah, yeah.
B&H is selling the 635A at $109.95.
Okay.
Yeah, well, the list price, Art, is $178, so it's aimed right at the 635A.
Yeah, right.
The RE50 is 268 list, but programs are all over the map. I mean, there are multiple, many programs from Electrovoice as we love them dearly. But it looks like it's lined up to price right at the 635A. So we'll see where our costs come in.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Next slide should say UWP series plug-on package. Brand new product. Brand new package. We're all familiar with the UWP packages, the C1 and the C2, which are the body pack and the handheld. Since we now have a new plug-on transmitter, this is going to be a package that includes the plug-on transmitter. So click again, and it says includes the plug-on transmitter and a portable receiver. Of course, applications include any type of field production or news gathering. And from what we've seen with history of the C1 and C2, these are primarily going out, you know, with HDV and DV cam and DV products. So kind of your mid-level production environment and even some consumer environment out there for people that are buying consumer products to put on, you know, put wireless on. So this is a nice addition to kind of round out the product line to add on the plug-on transmitter. Okay, so click again, and it also has a list price just like all the other UWP packages of $699, so we can kind of assume that the dealer cost should be around the same structure for that.
Hey, Art?
Yes?
Is there going to be an S3 and a X3 as well?
I don't think so.
Okay, so if you need it with the other ones, you got to buy the transmitter separately.
Right, yeah. Okay. I think primarily this is really the number one customer is using it.
It's going to be field production.
Yeah. Although, I mean, we will have people who would want one for, you know, an X series or an S series. So
right.
We will sell it separately.
Okay.
One of the networks had standardized on the 800 series plug-on,
mm-hmm.
and this simply will reduce the cost of a Sony wireless package for ENG.
Right. Plus, you get an advantage because the 808A is a smaller frequency range and fewer channels available.
Right. And just so you know, the 808 will be replaced at some point. It's just not any time in the near
future. With a B series?
There'll be a whole new. Actually, I think there's maybe even two new products that might be coming out.
Oh.
I know there is one, well, at least one coming out. Fairly. I don't know if it'll be maybe shown at NAB, but there will be something out to replace that.
Okay.
Okay. So if you click again, it should, it's available in November. They haven't come in yet, so we're still waiting. So hopefully by the end of the month, we'll have the plug-on transmitter available. One thing also to mention before I move on to the next slide is that although it doesn't show it on the accessories here, the plug-on transmitter does come with a case, like a leather case that goes around it. That was one of the things Japan initially didn't want to include, but we kind of fought with them, and they decided to go ahead and include it. So at that price, you also get a little leather case that covers it up. Okay, click to the next slide. You'll see some specifics on just the plug-on transmitter. Click again. It says plug-on transmitter for UWP series. One thing to note, as we always do, any of the UWP transmitters do not work with any of the 800 series receivers. So don't try to use this with, you know, a WR-862 or 861 or something like that. Just always like to point that out.
And it's for dynamic microphones.
Yes, good point. Good point. There is no phantom power. It's only dynamic or a powered electret of some kind with a battery. Yeah, no phantom power. Click again. You'll note that it is a metal construction. It is not a plastic case. It is a metal case. Click once again. Of course, you know it's for field production and news gathering. I've already said that a couple times. Click one more time. This is a 50 milliwatt transmitter. So unlike the other UWP series transmitters, which only go up to 30 milliwatts, this actually goes up to 50 milliwatts.
Yeah.
And it's a 2 AA battery. Now this one is not switchable to like a high and a low power setting. It's always at 50 milliwatts. Anybody tell me why it's 50 milliwatts?
In the broadcast environment, there's a higher RF level.
Yeah, that's a good reason. But the other main one, the way I see it, and I think the main problem is if you notice news crews, where do they hold the microphone when they have one of these things? They hold it right by the transmitter, so they're basically sucking up all the RF through their hand. So that was the main reason. That plus the fact that there's usually multiple other people out there with wireless, and plus we're competing with other people that are running at least 50 milliwatts or higher,
right,
in some cases. So anyhow, 50 milliwatts on the power output on 2 AA batteries. Okay, click again.
Hey, Art.
Yes.
The case is the antenna?
Yes.
Okay, there's no extra antenna or provision for one?
The antenna, I think, is actually printed on the circuit board on the inside. But, yes, there is no external antenna.
Okay.
So you don't have to worry about something hanging out the bottom of it.
Right, okay.
The because it's running at 50 milliwatts, we only get 6 hours of battery life, but that's actually pretty good for 50 milliwatts. So we get 6 hours of continuous operation and two AA batteries. And just like any of our other wireless that has DC to DC converters, and if you want to know what that is, we can talk about that later. Quick once more, the individual price for the plug-on transmitter is $495, and as I mentioned, it does come with the case.
Hey, Art?
Yes.
I've used that in all this roadshow stuff when I've talked about the wireless. I've talked about the AA batteries, and I've had a number of dealers point out that that's not a feature because everybody uses AA batteries and DC to DC converters. Nobody uses 9 volts anymore in professional gear. Is that true?
Well, yeah, the majority of the manufacturers that have switched over, it's always something that I say because I've said it for so long because
right.
We were the first ones to do it.
Right.
And that's
but
one of the reasons.
It's a feature. It's just no longer a benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's true. It's not as unique as it used to be, but
right.
they always like to point it out because a lot of people don't realize the cost benefit of AA batteries.
Well, that's what I always bring up is, you know, the power density is higher, the cost is lower, and you can get AA's anywhere.
Right.
And they are inexpensive.
Yep.
The Telex wireless line is 9 volt.
Is it still?
Hmm.
Well, I know that when I worked for a production company in Chicago, we had all our wireless mics use 9 volt batteries, and it was a real problem. And an expensive one, too. So.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So, let's see. Click on the button again. It says available November. We've already discussed that. So, click one more time. Now you should see UWPC 1 and C2 updates. We had mentioned a while ago that we were going to update some of the receiver functionality of the UWP series, and this is going to talk about that. Okay. So, click once. You should have URXP1 portable tuner channel scan. Click again. The way the portable receiver works is it will actually search and stop at a Sony operational transmitter's frequency. So it's not a really an open channel scan, but it's actually looking for a Sony transmitter. So you go out in the field, you basically turn on your transmitter to whatever channel you want, and you do the channel, the scan function on the receiver, and it will search for that transmitter. Okay, so that one's a little bit, you have to keep this in mind because it's different actually for the modular receiver. Okay, so the portable receiver looks for the transmitter. Okay, these are going to be shipping our first factory shipment. So if you click again, it says first factory shipment in December. We probably won't see them till January because we'll have to go through our current inventory and then get into the inventory that came from Japan. Now, one thing, hopefully in the... sometime in the near future, we'll be able to send out a memo that will tell you basically serial number ranges because the product itself, on all these instances where there's been a change, they don't look any different. There's no difference in color, no difference in model number, so we're going to send out a list of serial number ranges where it actually starts, where the change was made, so that you'll know what you have. I know it's not the best way to do it, but it was a running change, so they didn't want to change the model number. Okay, it says current model. Click again. It says current model ships until inventory depleted. Click once more. And also, another thing we're adding, it says UWPC 1 and C2 adding a mini to mini cable. And by the way, this is also with the C3. So click again. It says for connection with consumer camcorders. So now when you get a UWPC 1, C2, or C3, it will include not only an XLR cable, but also a locking mini-to-mini connector stereo so that you'll be able to plug into a consumer camcorder. So this kind of opens it up a little bit more. Usually people were having to buy that extra. This is a nice little bonus to be able to plug into a consumer camcorder. That's first factory shipment now. So those are actually inventory that we're shipping now. I've already got that cable in it. For some reason, a dealer gets a product and they need a mini-to-mini cable, let me know. I've got about 100 of them sitting in my desk drawer, and I can ship them out. So they need those at no charge. Okay, click again. It says current model ships until inventory depleted. Okay, going on to the next slide. It says UWP X1 and X2 scan function. Click again. It says URX M1 modular tuner channel scan. Click again. This one is the opposite of the portable receiver. It finds the open channel, just like the 800 series WRU modules do. You basically hold down a button on the first receiver, and it starts looking for open channels, and it sets all of your channels going across. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing, if you click again, we are now at the request of Jay Barth, who unfortunately is not on the phone call, are finally putting a backlight on the modular receiver. So Jay will be happy to know that we have added a backlight to the X receiver.
Dog on it.
Steve, is that your dog?
No, my dog is much louder.
He's chewing on the mic.
Right.
Hey, Art.
Yeah.
You may get to this, but I just wanted to ask a question real quick.
Mm-hmm.
If you mix UWP or URX tuner modules and WRR tuner modules in an MB-806, do they all talk to each other correctly?
Not if you have the old versions, they don't. The new versions will.
The new versions will?
Yeah.
So they'll coexist with the high-end receivers?
Yeah, well, they coexist now. You just don't get the channel.
No, I understand. Right, but you will be able to do that?
Yes.
With this model?
Yes.
Okay.
And these are available now, so anything that's shipping out now should have the backlight. If for some reason it doesn't, you let us know, and we'll do a swap out.
Did the backlight and the channel scan come in simultaneously so you can tell immediately whether it has it simply by seeing if it's got a backlight?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yep, that's a good point. That's how you would, you know, of course, you can't tell from the outside of the box, but
right.
You can tell by plugging it in.
Okay.
And, of course, I'm sure you're probably going to have customers who have UWP already, and then they plug in a new module and notice that half of their modules are backlit and half of them aren't. I don't believe there is any upgrade program other than the fact it's probably going to be really expensive. So, but if they bought them within a, I don't know, there is no really program to do it, but if they've just bought them and they've got old mixed with new, we can probably work something out. But if they're, you know, 2 or 3 years old or something, we probably won't be able to do very much. Okay, clicking to the next slide. Now we go on to the S1 and S2 scan function. Okay, click again. It says URX R1 half-rack tuner channel scan. Okay, click again. Now this one is just like the portable receiver. It will search and stop at Sony operational transmitter frequencies. So this one, you have to turn the transmitter on, and it will search for a Sony transmitter. Okay, this one, click again.
Hey, Art.
Yep.
If you've got a bunch of... So in this situation, you turn on your transmitters, and then you run the receivers in search mode to find them, right?
Right.
Is it easy to say, oh, no, I already got that one. Can you just hit a button and go to the next?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't actually tried it yet, but yes, you can skip it to the next one.
Okay. So you can just step through all of your transmitters and find the one you need for that.
Yeah, it's going to just stop on all the Sony transmitters.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Click again. It says first factory shipment in December. So those should be coming fairly soon. And once again, this one is just like the others. Click again, if the current model ships until inventory is depleted. So we have to go through our old inventory first, and then we'll do something about the new inventory. All right, click once again, and it should say WL800 series wireless product. I'm going to try to put it into high gear here because we're running low on time. This is, click again, this is WD850 antenna divider. Click once more. This is the successor to the WD820. Click again. This is 9-volt power supply for AN820s via coaxial, just like the 820 did. Click again. 12-volt power supply for third-party active antennas. That is a new feature. The 12-volt output, so if somebody wants to use, let's say, a directional antenna, which we don't make, but some other companies do, and we won't mention any names, you can use them now with the WD820. It will provide 12 volts. Okay, click again. List price is $18.50 and available in December. Okay, click once more. You should see the back panel of the WD850. Click again. Provides diversity output for up to 4 tuners. Click again. Cascade output can be used for additional antenna dividers or tuners, and I have a slide that shows an example of that. Click again, 2 pairs of antenna input connectors for up to 4 ANA20s. So if you need multiple ANA20s in a room, let's say it's a very large ballroom or something that you need to cover, or a stadium of some kind, or a hockey rink or something, you can actually run 4 ANA20s through this, and it works very well. Okay, click once more, and you should get a little diagram showing an example of the 850. I'm not going to go into any details, but just to let you know that you can actually set up the 850 to operate in multiple rooms. An example would be, let's let's say you're doing a TV show, like a morning show or something, and the talent needs to go from the studio into the dressing room, into the green room, into multiple rooms around the facility. This will be an ideal way to set that up. It allows you to do that. Okay, click once more. We've got a new product called the MBX6 tuner base. This is actually, believe it or not, a very nice addition to the product line. Click once more. Just to point out, this is not a replacement to the MB-806. It's an expansion. It's a new product coming out. Okay, click once more. It's 15% less than the MB-806. That's a good thing. One of the things we had told the factory was that the MB-806 is really too expensive for the UWP series, so they're giving us a new product that actually complements more with the UWP. Of course, it will work with the 800 series as well. Click once more. All allows modular tuner installation while rack mounted. That basically means if you know the MB-806, in order to get a module out, you have to have some space below it and use a little lever underneath and pull the module out.
Do you just take off that faceplate bezel?
Yeah, on this one, it's sort of like the X700, X500, where you can take off the front panel and basically grab it and pull it out. There's a little clip, I think, that holds it on or something, if I remember correctly. But, yeah, that little front panel with the two screws comes off, and it just pulls right out. So you don't have to have a space below the MB-806 to actually remove the module. Click again. Compatible with all UWP series and 800 series tuners. Click again. Tentative list price is $850. In case you didn't know, the MB-806, I think, list price is $1,000. So it's a good savings. And this is available in March. So we're a little bit further away on this one, but it's available in March.
So what does the 806 do that this doesn't?
Well, that's a good point, because I brought that up at AES. I have a feeling, even though it says it's not a replacement, I think eventually it will replace it. And you're going to see, if you keep going here, you're going to see there's actually things on this that the MB-806 doesn't have. Okay, so click to the next slide. Good point, Steve. Click to the next slide, and then click once more, and you'll see it says modular design, one unit. Yeah, big deal. We know that. Click again. Accommodates six tuners. Yeah, we know that. Click again. Accommodates both series. Click again. Addition of a WDA50. Yeah, you can add more. Click again. Auto channel assignment. It supports both the 800 series and the UWP channel assignment function, which it should. Click once more. Okay, it searches for groups. Click again. Now you should see the back panel. This is where you see a little bit of the differences. Click once more. It has individually selectable output level. If you know the MB-806, it's a master micro line level output. On this one, you can individually select whether the output is micro line level. So, for instance, you could have one output going out mic level to a mixer. You could have your mix output going out line input to another location. So it gives you the flexibility of doing that independently. So that's different from the MB-806, which is an improvement. There's an input attenuator switch on the antenna input. And this is for applications where you may have basically too much RF, especially in very large quantity situations where you might have, let's say you're doing 20 channels of wireless, everybody goes off the stage to one side all at one time, you're overloading the input of the receivers, you can actually attenuate the signal. Click again, supplies passive antennas, so the little rubber ducky antennas come with it, and that's it. But you're right, Steve, I think eventually this probably will replace it. I think just from a marketing standpoint, we don't want to announce this, talk about it, and then basically, shoot ourselves in the foot with the MB-806. Although most people are going to require this anyhow.
When okay. will this be available? March next year. All right.
Yep. So a little further off. Probably around NAB is when we'll be shipping it.
All right.
Okay. Any wireless questions? We need to move on. Okay. Click once more. We should be on.
Hey, actually, Art, I do have a wireless question.
Okay.
I got a call just a little while ago from one of our dealers. One of their customers had heard a rumor that the 8N and the receivers for the 8N are going to be discontinued soon.
That's news to me, if it's true.
Well, that's what I said, but he wanted some assurance that he wasn't going to get hung out to dry if he wanted to keep upgrading his system over the next year or so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can't make any guarantees, but I can't foresee
I just told him there's nothing now. So
yeah, there isn't any information now, and usually we'll know at least 6 months in advance if something's going to be different.
Okay.
So I haven't heard anything. Okay, moving on to high-end D. Record, edit, and deliver is what you should see on your screen. Click one, record on high MD, click again, connect via USB, click again, upload to a computer, and edit with SoundForge, and burn a CD. So this is basically, actually, and then archive the project on a 1 gig high MD. So click on to the next slide. This is basically, we're going to step you through basically the advantages of high MD, and also how you would actually use a high MD. It should say why high MD right now, and click on that. And it's ideal for recording. Click again, you should see a picture of the disk. Click once more. I'm sure everybody that's on this conference call was familiar with Minidisc, which came out back in 92. And the high MD is just really an extension of that format. Form factor looks exactly the same. The disk is a little bit different. The way it's recorded on the disk is different, but it all extends from the original MD format. Okay, click once more. A lot of people don't realize, but high MD offers 1 gigabyte of storage. If you compare that to the normal mini disk or the old mini disk, it's 140 meg. So it's almost 10 times as much storage on the same size disk. Click once more. Because of the storage capacity, now you can record PCM linear or compress Atrex 3 on the disk. More, high MD is affordable. It's around $7 per disk. If you compare that to a 1 gigabyte memory stick or compact flash or anything out there that's flash memory, you're looking at easily 10 times that amount for a 1 gigabyte of storage. So from a storage standpoint, storage cost right there is a huge advantage over anything else out there. And a lot of people don't realize that high MD serves as a USB mass storage device. As soon as you plug in your MD recorder, you don't even have to do anything, at least in the Windows environment, it will show up as a removable drive under USB. Okay, click again. You should have recording modes and a little picture of the display from the high MD. Click again, and you'll see you can record in three different ways. You can record 64 kilobit Atrex 3, which gives you up to 34 hours of recording. So if you're doing, let's say, interviews or recording classes, recording conferences, recording phone calls, whatever, you can get 34 hours of recording on one mini disc. That's called high LP mode, by the way, if you click again. Clicking once more, it shows you that it's about a 20-to-1 compression rate. Clicking again, and it's similar in quality to MP3, 128 kilobit rate. Okay, click once again, and you've got 256K Atrex 3, and that's called, click again, it's called high SP mode, and you get up to 8 hours of recording using that compression ratio, and that's approximately 5 to 1. Click again, it's 5 to 1. Once more, and it says near CD quality. So you're getting a lot closer to CD quality. So if it's music, but you need to record more than what the PCM rate will do, up to 8 hours, then you should probably go with high SP. Click once more. You got linear PCM. That gives you an hour and 34 minutes on one disk. Click once more, and that's 44.1 16-bit, which is the same as a CD. So if you know that your product's going to end up on a CD, then you probably should record in PCM if an hour and 34 minutes is enough. And typically it is. However, if you need more, we can do more. Click again, it says no compression, so there's no Atrax or any type of compression on that. And click once more, and of course that's equal to CD quality.
Art, this is Tom. I'm just going to interrupt just for a second. Hey, guys, are you all getting full page shots where you don't have to click again on the file you're seeing?
When I'm not sure what you're asking, Tom.
Are you seeing the full page in one shot? You don't have to keep doing the click again. You're seeing the whole slide when it comes up?
No, but it's not a big deal.
Okay. We just must have different files. When I'm going through them, Art, I'm seeing the entire page. I don't have to keep doing that click again. I see it all at one shot.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, that's because maybe you're not in slideshow mode.
Yeah, you got to go in slideshow mode.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you want, I can stop saying click again.
No.
We were doing just fine, Art.
Okay. I was assuming that it was this way. Go ahead.
All right. You'd all be back on the first slide, Art.
Right.
Yeah.
I should do like the old film strips. Beep.
Yeah.
Am I dating myself?
Sometimes that's all
you Yes, you are.
Okay, the slide we should be looking at now should say high MD portable recorders record level. And you should have three screenshots on the right-hand side. Click again. You've got some options when you go to record. One of them is automatic gain control, AGC. If you click again, it says standard default settings. So standard is just a standard AGC with normal volume control. Click once again. The other thing, well, actually, you do have two choices, standard and also it says for loud music. I would recommend personally never using the one that says for loud music because it's pretty awful.
Is that for bootlegging concerts?
Yeah, I guess, but it's pretty bad.
I hate that loud music too, Art.
Yeah, them damn kids. So anyhow, go to manual record level. If you click on that, now you get press record and pause. So that allows you to essentially, when you do that, again, you use the jog level to actually adjust the record level. So I would say 95% of the people that are using this are going to want to control the record level manually. And this, if you go to manual record, allows you to do that. Click once more. You should see a picture of the microphone that's supplied, which is the ECM-DS-70P. Not sold separately, but supplied with all three of the packages for high-end. Click once more. It's included with the M100 and the M10, and by the way, with the M100 bundle. Click again. You can either connect it directly to the high MD recorder, although one note, when you do connect it directly to the recorder, when you initially start recording, you press record play or record pause, you actually hear the drive coming up to speed and the laser moving. So you can, it actually picks it up. So, but that's only at the beginning. So that's just one thing to note. Sometimes that bothers people, sometimes not. But anyhow, to get away from that, you can mount it off of the actual recorder itself. So if you click again, it says use the supplied 3-foot cable and tie clip. So it comes with a little extension cable. And usually when I do recordings, I'll use the little cable just to keep the mechanical noise down to a minimum. All right, click once again, and you got record battery life. You've got an internal nickel metal hydride battery that comes with it. Looks like a stick of gum. Or you can use, there's an adapter pack that slaps onto the side of it that uses one AA battery. If you use those in combination and you record, click again, in the 64 kilobit mode, you get up to 12.5 hours of recording. Okay? Click once again. If you record in the 256K mode, you get 11.5 hours. And if you record PCM, you get up to 8 hours of recording. So quite a bit of recording time.
Aaron?
Yes.
How long, once I've charged the thing up,
mm-hmm.
How long do I get standby time? How long can I just leave it before I have to recharge it again if I don't use it?
Oh, if you don't use it at all, well, it automatically shut down after a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So
it doesn't bleed much off as it's just sitting there?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just kind of a trickle at that point.
Cool.
The other thing to mention is when you plug this into your USB port through your computer, it charges off the USB, which I think is great because I keep mine sitting here plugged into my USB port, and every time I go to use it, it's already charged and ready to go. I don't have to get out the wall wart and charge it up. It charges right from the USB. If you click again, it comes up and says, compare this with the battery life of other portable recorders. Just to give you an idea, specifically, the recording battery life on the Eterol R1 is 1 hour. So you can only record for 1 hour with that thing. So it kind of defeats the purpose of having, you know, a lot longer recording time if you can only record on the battery with 1 hour.
Well,
the M-Audio,
technicalities, isn't it?
Yeah, your technicalities. But the M-Audio, actually, you can do 3 hours. But if you compare that to ours, you can get up to 12.5 hours. So battery life is a big deal in this case. All right, click again. So once you make your recording, what do? You connect up your M100 or M10 through your USB port into your computer. I think everybody would be able to do that. Use the supplied USB cable. Click again. Click once more. Mentions here again that it also charges through the USB. So once you do that, click again. It should say upload recording into Sonic Stage. When you get an M10 or M100, it comes supplied with Sonic Stage, which is a Sony Connect piece of software that allows you to basically manage all of your audio files. And that's the only way to get information, audio information, into the computer. So you fire up Sonic Stage. It will recognize that. Then you basically do an import of your files. You import the WAV files or the compressed audio files into Sonic Stage, and now you've got them in your computer. Okay, click again. Here's a screenshot of what Sonic Stage looks like. And by the way, a quick note on Sonic Stage. I would recommend anybody, because it does come with a disc when you buy the unit, but there's already been two upgrades since we've come out with this particular model. So what I typically tell people is go to www.sonyconnect.com, and that will basically, you can go there and upgrade to the latest version, which is, I think, 3.3. So anyhow, that will allow you to, as you can see on the right-hand side, that shows you your high MD recorder. The left-hand side is showing your library. You can see you have the 49 gigabytes free. You basically select the file, click on the arrow that takes it into the computer, and it transfers the file into the computer. Okay, click once more. Then once you have it as a WAV file in your computer, you can open up SoundForge and bring that file in and do some editing. Click once more. Here's a screenshot showing of what you can do with SoundForge. So you can bring in your audio file, look at it, do some editing, add some Oxford EQ if you happen to have a DC power cord, and then click again. Then you can save it as a WAV file. So once you've made all your editing, all your EQ, whatever one of changes you want to make, you save it either, well, actually, in this case, they're showing it as being saved as a Windows Media file, but you could store it back out as a WAV file or an MP3 or whatever. There's a number of different ways to do it. Click once more. Then once you have your file, and it's sitting in a folder somewhere on your computer, then you can store that back out onto your high MD. Since it is a drive, you can archive any audio information or any pictures that you may have taken at the concert or any video files that might have to go with it or something, drag them back out to the high MD, and that gets stored on there with your original recording. So that's kind of the beauty of it. All right, click once more. You should say USB mass storage device. Click again. Get disk type total size. Click again. High MD is basically 964 megabytes of actual usable storage, even though it's a 1 gig disk. You've got a lot of overhead there, but it's essentially 964 meg of real storage. Click again. An 80-minute mini disk, which you can use in the high MD recorders, now gives you 291 megabytes. So even cheaper, you can get 80-minute mini disk for like a dollar or two. That's giving you 291 megabytes of information. Or you can take your old mini disk and erase them and use them as just as data storage. The high MD will actually reformat it to give you more storage. If you take a 74-minute mini disk, that's 270 megabytes. A 60-minute MD is 219 megabytes. All right, click once more. Once you have all your information stored, then you can create a Redbook CD using CD Architect. Won't go into any details there. We will see a screenshot if you click again, and that allows you just to see how you can burn a CD from that file, and then away you go. You're done with your project. All right, click once again. As everybody may or may not know, one of the unique features of this particular high MD as compared to a consumer version of it is a couple things. First of all, ours comes with a mic supplied, and the other thing that we offer that's unique is the fact that we have a WAV importer disk that comes with it that is compatible with Mac. Now, one key thing to point out here is this only works with WAV files, only linear PCM. So if you recorded using the high SP or high LP compressed mode, this WAV importer will not work. It only works with uncompressed audio.
There's no Sonic Stage version for the Mac.
That's right. There is no Sonic Stage.
So you just treat it as a file transfer.
Right, and that's the reason why. There is no Sonic Stage is the one that actually converts compressed files into WAV and all that stuff. All right, click once again. So you upload to from your PCM recording into your Macintosh. Click again. You'll get to see a screenshot of it. It's very simple. It just shows you a list of all the files that can be imported. And you notice here, if you look at the screen, it says Untitled, Interview with Bill Gates. All the highlighted titles are ones that are recorded in PCM that can be brought in. All the unhighlighted ones are ones that cannot be brought in. So it knows the difference. Okay, click again. Here's the three products that you have to sell, the MDM-100, the MDM-10, and the MDM-100 Bund 1, which is a bundle of same as the MDM-100, except it includes a copy of SoundForge only. Where we've seen successes with this product is in several different places. Music stores are doing very well with it. A lot of our radio and broadcast dealers are doing very well with this product. Of course, Minidisc is huge in the radio community. A lot of them have already been on board with Minidisc, so this is a natural migration for them to stay with Minidisc. The fact that it includes the mic and you're able to record for so long and also be able to record BPM, it's a really good product for that particular market.
I'm going to insert something here, Art,
yes,
for a second,
ahead.
And that is, reps, there was a product introduction dealer special, and it may have looked like the date went away. We updated that. It's supposed to be on the website soon, and we will keep that product introduction dealer special going through the end of December. And then I also want to remind you, if you don't have one of these MZM100s, I highly recommend it. And we have a rep sample cost at $277.17 with 30, 60, 90-day terms. So if you want to get one, please do so.
Yeah, Art?
Yes.
Something else that I've mentioned in the roadshow is, and maybe you can explain this real quickly, the HiMD recorders do work with MP3s, at least 44.1 16-bit MP3s. Is that something fairly new? Or is that, have they always been able to do MP3s?
Okay, well, first of all, we need to clarify something. It does work with MP3s, but you have to have sonic stage.
Yes.
If you were to take an MP3 file and just drag it on.
Yeah, it doesn't work. I know, I tried that. But it does work well with the with sonic stage. Is that something that's new? Because Sony doesn't even really mention that in their of their information. It's kind of, they sneak it in, but that's a huge deal that it will do MP3 playback.
Yeah, actually, well, we don't make a huge deal on the MZM100 or M10, but if you look on the box of the, like, MZRH910 or
whatever, the consumer version.
It's a big deal for them. It says on their big bold letters MP3.
Now, is that something that appeared with the HiMD format? Did that exist in the regular mini disc?
Actually, it's really a functionality of
Sonic
Stage.
Okay.
And when when version 3 came out, that's when it really kind of took off for that capability.
Right.
And then the later versions of Sonic Stage actually dealt more with our product, because one of the problems we had with version 3 was that if you made a recording on the MZM100 in PCM mode, you brought it into your computer, it erased it from the recorder.
Oh.
So that was not a good feature to have.
that's a feature.
So that's why I really make it a strong point that as soon as you get your product, that you upgrade Sonic Stage, because you might hear comments about, well, hey, I brought in my PCM file, but now it's gone off of my recorder. That means they're using an older version of Sonic Stage.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Moving right along. If you click, we've got you should see a picture of the PCM D1, and it says the Ultimate Audio Recorder. Which, by the way, if you haven't heard yet, this product was featured in the New York Times yesterday. So this was a huge deal for us. We got a lot of press coverage on this.
Recording studio in a box, I think they called it.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So it was on the New York Times website. It was also in the printed version as well in the business section. I think it was business and technology or something.
How soon might we see these, Art?
Well, according to my last discussion with Paul about this, is there still... on target, so we should see them by the middle of December.
Okay.
I know you've got orders in the system, and we've started taking orders. Actually, we've got more orders than we've got product coming in, but the first shipment, which I think is 60 pieces, should be in by the middle of December.
Okay.
Just in time for the Christmas season. Okay, so anyhow, this product was shown at AES, and it was the magnet of the show. I mean, everybody was hanging around that part of the booth.
I couldn't even get people to it. There was such a crowd surrounding it.
And this was actually a great surprise to us as well. I don't know if anybody out there is familiar with the Qualia line of products. But anyhow, the same group that did all of the Qualia designs, actually, this was supposed to be a Qualia product. That whole group, I think, has been since disbanded, the marketing side of it. But the products continue, and this was a Qualia product. So you can imagine this is basically designed, as it says here, as the ultimate portable audio recorder. And you'll see why as we step through. All right. Click, and you should have a blank screen that says PCM D1 portable recorder. Click again, it says linear PCM recorder. This does not record any type of compressed audio, so it does not record ATRAC, does not record MP3, anything like that. It's only linear PCM. Okay, so click again, ideal for recording superior high quality stereo recordings. again, it's a one-piece portable recorder that does 96K, 24-bit. And there are actually some selections, and we'll get into that. It's all solid-state storage. Of course, we talked about the advantage of mini-disc, and that's mainly being the cost of the media. But this was supposed to be the ultimate recorder, so we went with solid-state because you have no moving parts. Of course, there's a price you pay for that. So it's all solid-state. It's basically 4 gigabytes of internal flash memory, which cannot be removed. Or you can add in a removable memory stick. It has to be Memory Stick Pro High Speed. And currently, the most you can get on a Memory Stick Pro High Speed is 4 gigs. So you can get up to 8 gigs of storage total. It has built-in high-quality XY configuration condenser mic, as you can see on the top. Very unique roll cage there over the microphone. You can get up to nearly 30 kilohertz of frequency response. Of course, we're recording at 96K, so we can go well beyond the range of human hearing, and the microphones can also record some of that information. Very low self noise and high sensitivity on the microphone. By the way, the microphones were designed specifically for this recorder. They're not sold separately or anything. They're not removable. They're designed specifically for this recorder. All right, click again. You should get low self noise and high sensitivity. Click once more. This is a USB 2.0 mass storage device. So just like the mini-disc, it also, when you plug it in, it just shows up as a drive. Although this product, you do not require sonic sync. Once you make a recording, it's on there as a WAV file. Then you just plug it into USB and you drag it off onto your desktop, whether it's Mac, whether it's PC, whether it's Linux. It doesn't care. You just drag it in as a file. And it will actually bring that file over. Click again. It is brought in as a WAV file. Click once more. You can connect with a PAC, PC or a Mac, or a PAC, whatever. All right, click again. You should get a new slide. Click once. Built-in condenser mic. We already know that. Click again. Analog meters. Those are, by the way, not VU meters. They are peak meters, but they are analog meters. And they're very cool. They look pretty cool. There's a bi-color LED peak overload indicator. You can't really see it on the picture, although I guess if you look close, you can kind of see, if you look at, for instance, the left side meter towards the right, you see like a little dot. That's an LED. It's a bi-color green and red LED that basically shows you peak and overload, green being peak and red being overload.
I'm sorry, I missed something here. The analog meters are peak reading?
Yes, they're peak
okay.
meters, but they're analog.
Oh, I see they're calibrated in the... digital. Yeah, I see that.
Yep.
Okay.
And then, of course, there's also meters on the LCD display
right.
as well, which you go again. If click again, it says LCD display. Click again, it says playback level control. Click again. On the right-hand side, you see two knobs, side-by-side knobs that give you individual left and right recording levels. Okay. All right, click to go to the next slide. And you're going to see the right side of the recorder. These are actually very good pictures, by the way, that you have access to. Click, and you get, it says external mic input. Do note that it does not have plug-in power. So if you want to use the little microphone from the MZM-100, it won't work. It doesn't have plug-in power. So it is a mini jack. It is a stereo input for an external mic. There's a headphone output. Click again. Click once more. You have a mic line switchable. Click again. There's a Memory Stick Pro slot. See that below the record level. Click again. There's a slit on the left-hand side, and that's for the wrist strap that comes supplied with it. Make it a fashion statement. All right, click again. You'll see the other side of the recorder. Click again. You get line out and optical digital out. That you'll notice it's on one connector. It says out. It says line out and optical out. So that connector is both optical digital out as well as line out. You have to basically decide. When you plug in an analog cable, it becomes an analog out. When you plug in an optical cable, it's a digital out. Then, of course, click again. You get line in. Click once more. You have a 20 dB mic attenuator. Click again. USB 2.0. By the way, the high MD recorders are not USB 2, they're USB 1, or 1. Whatever it is. All right, click once more. You have a 6-volt input. That's port to be plugged into if you need external power. And, of course, a hold switch, which basically you turn that on and none of the controllers work. All right, click once more. And click again. Supplied accessories include, click again, windscreen. Click again, AC power adapter. Click again, USB cable. Click again, carrying case. Click again, battery charger. Click again, 4 AA nickel metal hydride rechargeable battery. By the way, the batteries, that's the other nice thing with this. It comes with nickel metal hydride rechargeable batteries, which uses four of them. But in a pinch, you can use just four alkaline batteries, which is nice. Also, the battery charger doesn't charge the batteries in the unit. The battery charger, which comes supplied, is actually separate. And it's one of these ones that, you know, has little flip-out prongs and you plug it into the wall type of thing. But that is in addition to the power supply that you can run it off of.
Hey, Art?
Yes.
Does the D1, is it powered up the USB port when it's connected?
No.
Okay, so this runs on, okay.
Yeah, good point. This one only uses that AC power.
So it doesn't charge batteries in it, and it doesn't run off the USB port.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep. Operating instructions, of course, click once more. This is actually a nice thing to point out. One of the things they, by the way, we're on the screen that says analog front-end block diagram. One of the things they did with the audio portion of this, the circuitry, is they went top of the line as best as you can get. As you can see, these are all, if you're familiar with the numbers, AD797, AD, those are all analog devices, mic pre's, amplifiers, A to D converters, headphone amps, everything is all very high-end, top-of-the-line analog devices products. So that's what we're really just kind of pointing out here, is they spared no expense in terms of the signal path of the recorder. Okay, click once again. This is talking specifically about the characteristics of the microphones. We had a lot of people ask about, well, what do the mics sound like? And luckily we had some recordings there that we could play back. But that's something that you're going to get a lot of questions about the mics themselves. Of course, a lot of people won't use the internal mic. They'll use their own mic. But these microphones actually sound very good. It's electric condenser mic. There's the output sensitivity, maximum input, so on and so forth. The key thing here is to look at the very wide frequency response, first of all. This chart, by the way, goes out to 100K. So you go all the way down from 10 hertz to 100 kilohertz. Of course, it drops off, you know, out there around 40K or whatever. But anyhow, they take very good care, or have taken very great care in making sure that the actual capsules are matched. So there's 1 dB difference between the left and the right channel of the capsule. So they're actually paired together very selectively. Okay, click again. And this is just showing the frequency response in polar pattern at 400 hertz and at 1K. And you can see they track pretty well. All right, click once again. This is showing the actual frequency response. It's a little bit hard to read, but kind of follow the light blue line there that goes across. But the thing to point out here is it's pretty flat all the way across. There aren't any real bumps or anything. Of course, you've got normal roll-offs at the low end, at the high end. But it doesn't really start to roll off. And it's off by 1 dB all the way out, a little more than 1 dB, all the way out to 40K. Look at the scale on the left-hand side. You're only a dB down on that first major line down. So that's pretty good going way out that far. So these are very high-quality microphones. This is the line input to line output. It's not the microphone. We already had the microphone frequency response. This is the actual frequency response of the recorder itself. All right, click again. Now we're seeing the linearity of the recorder itself. Once again, very, very linear, all the way down, you know, into 100 dB. Minus 100 dB, so showing the linearity. Once again, spare no expense in terms of the quality. Click once again. This is actually probably the coolest part of the whole recorder. If you click and it says limiter function, it has a very unique limiter. Click once more. It says includes audio buffer simultaneously recording audio at minus 20 dB. If you look at the block diagram of this thing, you're recording stereo audio, let's say, into the mic. It's recording it actually into two buffers, one stereo buffer at normal level and one stereo buffer at 20 dB down. And it has a look-ahead limiter. Okay, well, I think I'm getting ahead of myself. Click again. It says when the limiter is engaged, gain compensation is applied to minus 20 dB buffer signal to equal original recording level. Okay? Click again. Results in limiting without the sound of a conventional limiter. So you're basically taking, what it does is it takes a look at both of the recordings and decides and gain compensates between the two to give you the best recording. So it's a very intelligent limiter that doesn't sound like a conventional limiter. And that's very important, especially for portable recordings. So you're obviously, in many situations, you're getting recordings that, or you're recording something that's unpredictable. So this gives you a very intelligent limiter function. Click again. It says excessive gain higher than 20 dB over the input level settings may cause sound to distort. Now, that's the only thing about it, but 20 dB is a lot. If once you do go over that 20 dB limit, it is, does get nasty, but 20 dB of limiter functionality is very useful. Click once again. This also has super bit mapping. If you guys remember, been around for a while, remember the DAT machines and everything, super bit mapping is basically our noise shaping function that allows you to get 16-bit recordings from more than 16-bit original recordings. So that is actually built in. So the internal software generates three noise shaping algorithms simultaneously, which again produces a very high-quality 16-bit recording. So if you know it's going to end up on CD, you can use the super bit mapping within the actual recorder. But again, 200 hertz high-pass filter, great for removing low frequency. Because the microphones themselves go all the way down, you know, pretty low, the high-pass filter is good for removing any rumble that may occur. Click again. It says clock. Click once more. This is for recording the date and time to be used as the WAV file's name. So when you make a recording, it gets stored as a file name that is actually the date and time of that recording. Okay. Click once more. I'm not going to go into everything on this, but keep this as a reference. This shows you, because everybody will ask, well, how much can I record? This gives you all the different sample rates all the way down to 22.05 kilohertz 16-bit, all the way up to 96K 24-bit with all the different memory stick configurations. Keep in mind, it has to be a memory stick pro high speed. Any other memory stick will not work. It has to be a high speed memory stick. So that's a very important point to point out. And by the way, 4 gigabyte high memory stick pro high speed memory sticks are about $300, I think. So it's pretty expensive. All right, click once more. Actually, I'm going to blow past this whole slide.
Hey, Art?
Yes.
Is the memory stick pro high speed included? Do you get one?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Only the 4 gigabyte internal is included. I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. Okay, keep clicking until you get past this light. It just deals with the fact that there is a limit.